can imagine. Don't be like you. The pain and the suffering you put me through. I can't imagine to be like you. The pain and the suffering you put me through.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Roach Coach Podcast, the journey into the new metal canon. My name is Lauren Kozlowski. With me, as always, the Indigo Angel, Jennifer Bloomer.
Hello.
And the original Roach Rider, Mr. Matt Noz.
Keeping rolling, baby.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive right into it. Who's tweeting angry tweets?
Everybody's angry tweets.
Everybody's angry tweets. We've been doing this show for how many episodes now? What is this, 29?
29?
I think this is 29.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And this is the first time that an induction into the canon was heavily protested.
Yes, it was. We even had a hashtag, not my canon.
Not my canon.
Dang, that's harsh.
That was harsh. And so that was Brad Hicks kind of led the charge on that one a little bit.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And then also Ben...
Yeah.
I was upset. And he posted right on your Facebook page.
Ben Raisky, not taking any time. He has no time for this.
He had no chill. He was like right into it.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with the fact. He didn't call them coal chamber. He called them corn chamber.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is pretty which harsh. Is
such a dad joke.
It is.
Which congratulations, Ben will be a father very soon.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
So you got your first dad joke.
There you go.
And it was awesome.
And I mean, I thought about it. And I stand by it still.
Yeah, you know what? I do too. And I'll tell you something I did.
Yeah.
I listened to that Korn album again.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. And let me just tell you people listening.
Okay.
You people.
Oh, ho.
How many times have I listened to that album?
I think you've listened to that album counting
12.
Counting the listen you just did, that would be 102. I'm pretty sure you listened to that album on loop, right?
Yes.
For like 2 weeks.
Yes. And I went back to revisit, and I stand by our decision too. I can understand. I totally understand the argument that Coal Chamber was so heavily influenced by Korn.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we're gonna get to the Korn albums that are great and should be in the canon and kind of like exemplify. And I would like to remind these not my canoners, Brad Hicks, I'm talking to you right now. Some of that album is in the canon.
Yeah. Blind's in. Chutes and Ladders is in.
And I wonder how many times everybody protesting has listened to this album in recent years.
Here's the thing. It's one thing to be like, oh, I can't believe you didn't put it in. But front to back. Think about that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is I went back and I started doing, I didn't re-listen, but I did sort of like a memory just track for track comparison. And just the fact that Coal Chamber does not fall into that rut of slow stuff right away. Like they're hard charging. And the other fact of they don't end their album with crying.
That's
and there was a sameness factor that first Korn record had the same riff.
Well, that's the problem with the second album, too. The second Korn album. And the songs that are the standouts on the second Korn album are the ones that don't sound like the rest of the album. Adidas and Twist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I will say this. I think it's awesome that people are listening and care.
Yeah.
And I will say respectful disagreement.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I enjoyed that. I was like, okay, here we go. We touched a nerve.
Yeah.
We touched a nerve.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine.
Hey.
But
Still
in the canon.
Still in the canon. And I did post on the Twitter and on Facebook. You can now see the entire canon as it is updated. I posted a Google Doc.
I forgot about them blowing up a boat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I also put in that the Voodoo video is up for review by Jenny.
I saw that.
Yeah. So
I'll do it.
As soon as you get around to it.
Yeah.
You know, no hurry.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Within the next 3 podcasts.
There we go.
I'll do it.
Okay. All right. So I think that's it for who's tweeting. I mean,
yeah.
That, you know, Coal Chamber just, you know, hot topic.
Hot topics.
Keep on tweeting us at Roach Coach. Please send us messages, emails. We love them.
Yes.
Good and bad. Send them all.
And you're 100% correct. This is episode 29.
Hey! All right.
Good counting.
All right.
Who's counting?
Matt Nas is.
Yeah.
All right. So today we are digging into the self-titled debut by Seven Dust. Jenny, when did this album come out?
It came out on April 15th, 1997.
Woo! Ooh, that's early.
It's before the thick of it.
Before a lot of things.
Getting the party started.
Getting the party started.
Definitely some Seven Dust getting the party started action going on here.
Oh, this is my promise.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to write the phases of nu metal out.
Oh,
okay.
There's Setting It Off.
Right.
Which we have a Korn first album.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have our artists that are getting the party started.
Yeah.
Then we have the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Won't take the hint. I think that
won't take the hint is pretty good.
That's like a post 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants you at the party anymore. You will not take the hint and leave.
The post 9/11 hint that people aren't taking.
You know, the two towers go down and you're still like, let me just play a couple more tracks for you guys.
Like,
these guys are real sad.
Yeah.
Guys, my parents are going to be home at any minute. You really got to go. You really got to go.
So, Jenny, do you have any history with Seven Dust and this album?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
I remember that I knew that they were a band that did exist.
Okay.
And listening to this album, I do remember a couple of their songs that were on the radio.
Okay.
But that's it.
All right.
How about you?
Yeah, this was like an in the era purchase.
Okay.
I bought this. Yeah, basically when it came out, because I either heard Black or Bitch on the radio, and
pretty
I was like,
cool.
Gotta get me a copy of Seven Dust, and I was actually really into them for this album. I bought their follow-up album, which is called Home, which came out in 99. It actually got like a really good write-up in like the Detroit News, so I remember thinking like, oh, Seven Dust is really blowing up, so I remember about that one. I was all about that album. That album has a Chino cameo on it. All
right.
And then I got the following album after that, Animosity, and I was like, this is not great. And I basically just stopped.
Well,
I
stopped. You know who didn't?
Oh, Seven Dust. Seven Dust kept on going. How many albums does Seven Dust have?
I think we determined they have 11, including their acoustic album.
That's right.
11 albums. No real breaks in there either.
No, I think they maybe lose a guitarist at some point and then regain a guitarist, but otherwise it's basically the same guys through the whole way.
Yeah, yeah. So that's actually incredibly impressive to me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you think about it, and they're still together. They did, their most recent album was, what, like a year ago?
Looks like it was 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fairly
so that,
recently.
I guess that is a year ago.
Yeah.
About that. Kill the Flaw, it was called.
Kill the Flaw.
Not knowing when to quit. No, just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding, y'all.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have any history with this album?
The history that I have with this album is that my wife knows this one.
Oh, all
right.
And she's very excited to see if it goes into the nu metal canon.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, now
pressure on.
after our last decision, I just don't know.
I mean, that's really close to home. I mean, we could come over and
this
she'd be like...
This is actually literally close to home
close
because,
to home.
Yes. We're in the Indigo basement.
Yeah.
Which is technically hers.
Yeah.
It is also her Indigo basement.
Yeah.
Well, she knows that she is an Indigo angel and that I am a Roach Rider.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, as long as we all know
our roles.
As long as we all know our roles.
Oh, we don't know our roles.
Yeah.
Who is in Seven Dust?
When this album was recorded, we had LaJon Witherspoon, who is the vocalist, Clint Lowry on lead guitar and backing vocals, John Connolly on rhythm guitar and backing vocals, Vinnie Hornsby on bass, and Morgan Rose on drums and backing vocals. A lot of backing vocals. Yes. So thank you.
It's almost like they have a chorus line? Is that what I'm thinking of? No. What was it called? The people
choir.
That's it. They have a choir. Well, no, I was saying, actually, I don't think I was thinking.
We're doing a music podcast.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, right. Yeah. We don't know any of the terms.
What's a song? I think they have 11 of those.
No, what's it? What was it? What was it called in the Julius Caesar when there would be like the group that would be sort of commenting?
Oh, yeah.
On the action.
As a Greek, well, there's a Greek choir.
A Greek chorus, though, right?
Greek chorus,
that was, I think that was what I was thinking of. You have the Seven Dust Chorus always there, you know.
Leading you through the journey.
Let me see. So they are in The Good Book, the new metal book, The Next Generation of Rock and Punk by Joel McIver. I feel I should mention who wrote this book. I've listened to some old episodes, and I'm like, I don't mention who wrote this book.
Oh, man.
Great caption. It says, Seven Dust, Children of the Corn? ?
Oh, all right.
And they have a little tiny photo there.
Aww.
Very nice. And it says, a deeply heavy band, often irksomely compared to Korn and the Deftones. The members of Atlanta's Seven Dust first came together in 95 under the name Crawl Space. After releasing a single, My Ruin, which appeared on the Mortal Kombat More Combat compilation, the band were obliged to change their name for legal reasons and settled on the mystifying title of Seven Dust. I don't know if it's mystifying.
It's not that mystifying.
Okay. A contract materialized after the band, holding down various Mick jobs at the time from gardening to construction, met reps from the TVT label in 1996 at an industry seminar. Having written an album's worth of songs during their two-year stint performing on the Atlanta club scene, it didn't take long for Seven Dust to produce a full-length record, like so many debuts in these pages, a self-titled effort, which was released in April of 1997. Although sales were initially slow, a Seven Dust radio special entitled Live and Loud helped push the record, and it ultimately went gold in 1998, coincidentally on the day that Rose and his girlfriend, Cold Chamber bassist Raina Foss, found out that they were having a child. Well, there's an interesting connection.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Did I jump ahead?
No.
So drummer Morgan Rose is married to Raina Foss.
That's right.
Cold Chamber.
That's right.
And they have a baby.
They do.
They probably have a couple babies now.
Who knows?
Okay.
Maybe 100.
Oh, man. What is there more of? Children or Seven Dust albums?
I don't know. We could probably find out, though.
Yeah.
Well, if they consider the Seven Dust albums their babies.
Oh, way.
Hey, that's a good question.
That's a good question. Yeah, and then they just talk about their second album. Okay, so that's what he has to say about them. And I guess we should just dive into this thing.
Why not?
All right. Track number one, Black. Hot open.
Yeah, I was not expecting this to be how they sounded.
No?
No.
They're rocking right out the gate. They got some cool guitar effects going on. LeJean, great vocals right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
These are muscular vocals.
I agree.
Yeah, this guy feels, like, without even seeing him, I feel like he feels ripped. You know what I mean?
He sounds strong. Yeah.
He sounds strong.
I like this chorus. Oh, it takes a minute.
Let's get to that. Oh, wait. Yeah, there's another verse.
Oh, my God. But once we get there.
Yeah. Well, you got to have this. Now, here's the thing. It's funny that the Korn comparison's in the book because I don't really get a lot of Korn.
I hear zero Korn here.
Oh, here we go. Who can't relate to that?
Yeah.
You know, you're minding your own business and people are hassling you. So, strong open. I went to songmeetings.com.
Yeah.
Where we are now registered.
Yep.
And they say in the comments that it is either about racism and also posers.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely got the racism part.
Yeah, the racism, that's where I would have gone.
Yeah.
So I think it is about racism. I really liked this song a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was surprised, actually. I thought this album was going to be a real snooze fest.
Oh, this is not a snooze fest.
I didn't sleep at all. Haven't slept in weeks. I like his vocals a lot. I didn't get a lot of nu metal here.
I got a little bit just with the a lot of the guitar noises. It seems like because they have so many guitarists that they can let a lot of them just get kind of like, hey, make this cool noise with your guitar, you know?
Yeah.
But I definitely know what you mean. It isn't downtuned. It's much more propulsive than a lot of the other bands that we've listened to. Like these guys are like, let's get here to rock. We're not going to be hanging down. Like we're just here. Like we're here to literally get the party started with our rocking. And
it makes sense that they want to get the party started. Cause you know who produced this album?
Who produced this album?
Mark Mendoza and JJ French, both of Twisted Sister fame.
There we go.
So they were ready.
Those are two new names for the show.
Yeah. Mark the Animal Mendoza and JJ French doesn't have any sort of animal nickname, but yeah, they were both in Twisted Sister and they wound up producing this album.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so interesting. There we go. Welcome, Twisted Sister.
Welcome. And so strong open. I guess that's all we have to say. I mean, hey, we liked it. All right. Track number two, Bitch.
Pretty cool. I was like, what in the Guns N' Roses hell is this? What?
Well, don't worry, Jenny. Uh-oh, here it comes. This is nu metal.
This is nu metal.
Yeah.
This song feels like people who wanted to try out a lot of genres all in one song.
Yep.
This is very nu metal.
Very nu metal.
This is even like kind of some tough guy hardcore a little bit here.
Well, I did the Kreisgau challenge to this album. And let me tell you, the perfect accompaniment to any of these songs is the sound of clinking weights in the background. This was made for that.
You were like, dropping plates?
Oh, I mean, I wasn't. Other people were. I was on the elliptical, thank you very much. But right away. Now here's an interesting thing. The song is called Bitch. They do not say the word bitch in the song.
Well, that's not the most, that is interesting, but like the whole song goes in and out of that like acoustic, mm-hmm. like soulful, whatever the hell that was.
Right, right.
And then back to this like super heavy, fast thing. And I just don't understand why those are in the same song together. This was one of their singles.
Yep.
This peaked at 30 in the Billboard mainstream rock charts. It was included in their Best of Chapter 1 album, one of their other albums. That Best of Chapter 1 not included in the album count we did earlier.
Oh, okay.
It's not even that I don't like this song,
uh-huh.
because I do. I just don't understand it.
I don't know. I kind of get it because I feel like they're, you know, it's that sort of, it's kind of like that song by Monster Magnet, Space Lord, you know, it's got that slow acoustic-y part and then it blows up Space Lord Mother.
I know the song, yeah. But that sounds like one song.
I don't know. This feels like one song. This does not feel stitched together. If I think of a stitched together song off the top of my head, I think of that one from the first single off the third Strokes album. Whatever that song was called.
What?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's that song sounded like they had written a bunch of different parts. Here's the thing. I believe that they could reproduce Bitch live. I think they just got to hit a pedal and they can change it. Or at least they got so many guitarists that one guy could be on the acoustic.
You only live once. is the third Strokes record, right? From First Impressions of Earth?
It's the second track on First Impressions.
Juicebox.
Juicebox is like five songs in one, and they all sound stitched together in Pro Tools. And we're not going to even listen to that. It's not even worth it. But I don't know. I don't think this one, to me, this one doesn't sound stitched together to me.
Not at all.
No. I mean, maybe I've just been listening to it for too long.
Can I hear that? I play that beginning again? Because I feel like that is the argument, right?
Right.
It's just that it goes in and out of this throughout the entire song.
Well, I mean, it's not like this is acoustic here. This is an electric guitar right here. Oh, there's that backing vocals action going on.
A lot of backing vocals. So we have this.
Sure.
We have this for a while. But then we go back into the singing quiet.
Uh-huh.
Repeatedly. I just don't get it.
Huh.
It feels like they listened to Faith No More and were like, we want to do that. That sounds like we want to do Epic.
Yeah, Faith No More is one of their influences. We might just have to agree to disagree. I like each of these songs that are in Bitch separately, but maybe not together. That's how I feel. But maybe I'm being a bitch.
Oh, no.
No way.
I regret that.
So I went. So it seemed to be that this song is about. I wrote about a negative person, which is hilarious now that I'm looking at it. Like, yeah. But then I wrote no negativity for Seven Dust. They got no time for it. Also, this is a good drummer.
Yeah.
Good drummer. Yeah. So yeah, I think I've heard this song like so much in my life that it doesn't even seem. Like, you know, like I grew up with this song, Jenny.
Yeah, this was a first listen for me. So I didn't know. But I think that, so we mentioned earlier Seven Dust apparently was perplexing to Joel McIver.
Yes.
It's not. But I do want to talk a little bit about the history of the names that this band has had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this was like kind of as they were... like on their way to becoming a band, but I love this name history, so
okay.
I just want to go through
okay.
it.
Okay.
So Vince Hornsby and Morgan Rose were in a band together in 1994 called Snake Nation.
Oh my God.
And I just want to let you know that I love that name.
That's wow.
And Snake I was Nation. Like, could I name something that I do, Snake Nation?
I gotta imagine that name is defunct now. So I mean,
I might take it.
SnakeNation.com, is that available?
I'm checking GoDaddy.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so they spent some time with vocalists they didn't like. They spent some time searching for new vocalists. They found Lejean, and then they renamed themselves Rumblefish. So they found out though that Rumblefish was already taken. I don't know why they changed from Snake Nation to Rumblefish. Snake Nation is a way cooler name. So
they're definitely staying with these animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then,
but they're animals. They're not bugs.
That's true.
So props on that front.
Yeah, we went from a snake to a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Then they found out that there was another band called Rumblefish, so they changed their name to Crawl Space, so it's like a place where an animal would live.
That's true. Yeah.
And then they found out that... so when they were called Crawl Space, that's when they had My Ruin on that Mortal Kombat soundtrack. They found out that there was another band named Crawl Space, but that Crawl Space didn't have an E. It had a C and then an apostrophe. But Crawl Space C apostrophe sent notice to Crawl Space E that they wanted $2,500 for the rights to their name. And yeah. Seven Dust was like, no. And so they changed their name to Seven Dust, which does keep with the animal thing because it was inspired by an insecticide brand called Seven Dust.
Okay.
So there you go. That's the evolution of a band name.
So Seven Dust is actually named after something that kills bugs.
That's right. They were like, fuck this. Like, just whatever. Let's kill it. Why do we have to keep changing your name? I looked and I couldn't find out why they changed their name from Snake Nation because I fucking love Snake Nation. I think it's so, it's like funny and cool. And I don't know. I just love it.
I mean, yeah.
There is a lot of wiki stuff for Snake Nation.
Is there really?
Really?
Yeah. Snake Nation was a band consisting of Corrosion of Conformity members Mike Dean and Woody Weatherman.
Whoa.
So maybe that was the problem, because that doesn't sound like Seven Dust at all.
They were like, we should call ourselves the Beatles. Shit. It's just like a bunch of band names that already exist. Snake Nation. I don't know. I might want that for myself.
You're going to name your next show Snake Nation, aren't you?
I'm going to name this podcast Snake Nation.
Formerly known as Road Crouch Podcast, now Snake Nation.
Yeah. Snake Riders and Indigo Hissers, Slithers. I don't know. I'll work on it and get back to you.
Workshop
all.
That.
Yeah, I've got a little work to do, but.
Okay. Track three, Terminator. Very moody open.
See, I love this.
Yeah.
To get here.
So that intro is too much for you?
I was coming off of a wave of confusion from the last song.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, this is... It's weird because this is... It's new metal, but it's mixing a lot of stuff that we haven't heard on a lot of these other albums. Like, it still has all those elements, but it's accentuating a lot of stuff that... The other bands have no interest in.
Yeah, I like this, though.
I'm a Terminator determined to end your life. I mean, that's actually all Terminators.
Yeah. that's the job.
That's the job. But I love it. I wrote that this song is about not taking your goals seriously, but now you are, and you're going to fuck the game up.
Yeah, well, if you are to believe songmeanings.com, Morpheus VW says, classic Seven Dust dudes, where's the comments? Mind you, this track does speak for itself. So
there's a lot of great, why isn't anyone commenting on this? This song is awesome for Seven Dust.
Yeah.
On the old songmeanings.com. Real quick, you got a comment, correct? On your comment
yes,
on songmeanings.com?
I did. So as you may recall, if you've listened to this, this Seven Dust or fuck
Coal Chamber.
Sorry. I'm trying to like Google the comment as while I'm talking and I'm not doing a good job.
Well, Jenny Googles this. Jenny had created an account on songmeanings.com.
Indigo Angel 69.
Yeah. You know, Indigo Angel was taken. We're going to find out who has it
on there. That's fine.
Yeah. And I think it was maybe a day. You had a comment up a day, and then you texted me and said, oh my God, look at this. It's alive.
Yes, that's true. So I posted a comment on Dreamtime by Coal Chamber.
Yes.
And XXX, Princess Deadeyes, XXX, replied to my comment. Now, mind you, this comment thread had not been active since like 2009.
Yep.
So Princess Deadeyes is still out there, and I appreciate that. And she said, LOL, dreams heal your soul. That's why. And then like one of those little cat smiley faces.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And
up a day.
One day.
One day.
Coal Chamber fans on it.
Yeah. It was really helpful because what my comment was, LMAO, my friend says the song is about sleep being good when you're depressed. As someone who's often depressed, can confirm, will listen again. So I really appreciate...
I will listen again.
Yeah. I appreciate X. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Do you have
XXX Lady Deadeyes? Is that what I said? I think it was like Princess Deadeye. She must have changed her name from lady to princess.
Whoa.
What's going on here?
Oh,
I'm in too deep in songmeanings.com. Ah! Well, anyway.
Jenny hasn't shown up to any parties or anything lately. What's she been up to? Mm. She's moderating the board now for songmeanings.com.
She's totally in the weeds with songmeanings.
She's in it.
Honestly, like when I was at Michigan State, I never left my dorm room because I was on the internet moderating songmeanings.com. No, I was like,
Are you also Lady Di XXX?
I created the website in 2005 and I'm everybody on it. And this podcast was just a long game for me to get people to know about it.
Let me tell you,
been sitting on this for a while.
You basically went through another round of funding.
Yeah.
You went to Y Combinator.
I learned to code. I was like, I got to get it more deeper in
there. Let me tell you, that's the long game as long as you could play. That's like a David Mamet movie long game. Hey, who's this guy? Let me talk to him about Limp Bizkit briefly. Okay, in 2 years, he'll come to me with a podcast about doing a new metal, and I'll just wait him out.
Everything's going according to plan.
Yeah, dude. In 6 years, I'm going to be singing for Limp Bizkit. Just wait for it.
I love that it has been 7 years since that board has been active. One comment, one day later.
This is what I said. Lit up the everybody who's ever commented is now like, wait, I got to go back.
Yeah, it's like if you find like the wreckage of an old building and there's like this cute little robot in there and you like pick it up and it just like you see like one little flash where its robot heart is. It comes back to life.
Yep.
This might be the beginning of a magical movie.
I love everybody on Song Meetings. I'm so glad that they're interacting, that we have the respect that we have for it.
Yeah.
But we are going to jab, jab, jab on that sweet Song Meetings.
Oh, man. Yeah. This isn't going to end well for anybody.
Oh, no. Okay. So, Terminator, you like it?
Yeah. I think it's fine. I was glad it sounded like one song. That was cool.
All right.
Up next.
Too Close to Hate. I wrote that this intro gets me into the zone. I don't know what that means, but that's what I wrote in my notes.
Ooh, yeah, I'm in.
Are you in the zone too?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you're like, oh, okay.
Because it...
Yeah, right? Like, 7 Disc is just, like, revved up, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you want to drop some plates to this.
I'm in the zone now.
Oh, okay. You got to drop some bass for Jenny.
Yeah.
To get into the zone.
I don't get in the zone without some bass.
Okay.
Slowly leaving the zone.
Oh, don't worry. He's going to bring you back. Yeah. I like this one. I like the all the guitars, you know? Everybody's getting a chance to do a little weird sort of texture noise in the background. I wouldn't call it like a wall of sound, but definitely a wall of neat effects.
A wall of neat effects. That's nice. Yeah, this was the third single from this album.
Oh, I didn't know this was a single.
It was, yep. It didn't do very well, but it was definitely a single. I thought it was all right. I don't know. It. I don't think it grabbed me quite the way it grabbed you, but I thought it was all right.
Mm-hmm. It appears to have some religious overtones, and I went and looked at some band member Twitter accounts, and LeJean and a couple other guys make a very big point in their Twitter bios to be like, I'm in Seven Dust, and I love God.
Oh, okay.
But not all of the guys, just some of them. And then I was like, wait, is Seven Dust a religious band? Have I not been aware of that this whole time? But there isn't enough on this album to make me think that. And when I went and looked at some other albums, it seems very surface. Like, I don't think they're not like a Christian band. I think they just happen to have guys in it.
Was it proselytizing? They're not out there.
They are not. They're not doing. Yeah, there's not a POD level to this. Which I don't know if I told you guys, the most recent POD album, I think they came out in 2015, is an entire like audio play with in between songs are skits of like a lost soul who like falls in with bad people and does drugs and does crime and then slowly finds God again. And then obviously the songs detail his journey, but you also have this like badly acted like skit or story.
Wow.
Run through the whole album. And the acting is super bad. Like, I was kind of blown away by how bad the acting was, because it was like, you need to just come to church. I'm not gonna. And I was like, ugh. Okay. But then Marcos would drop like a really sweet riff, and I was like, okay, the band's still rocking. I just don't know about these skits. But there's nothing to that level on here. Songmeanings.com says this song is about the Atlanta music scene and that they are too close to hate on each other's music and ambitions.
Yeah. I also love the first comment on songmeanings.com.
Oh, yeah. What's the comment?
It's from Dropkick Murphy. It's from September 21st, 2002. This is when I was creating this website in my dorm room at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
This is and forever will be Seven Dust's best song. Anybody who has followed Seven Dust knows that, and anyone who's been to one of their concerts knows it too. You wannabe fans need to stop putting comments on their stupid cover songs and songs for soundtracks and start putting comments on real Seven Dust songs like this one, Terminator, Black, and other early stuff.
Can I make a request, please?
Yes.
Can you please reply to that and say, you're preaching to the choir, brother?
Yes. Preaching to the choir, brother. All right. Let's see.
2002.
To 2016.
Oh, man. Oh, I hope this guy like comes back.
God, Dropkick Murphy.
I like that he got Dropkick Murphy with no numbers.
Yeah. He wasn't sleeping.
He wasn't. Well, I mean, he was there. He was there at the inception.
Yeah.
You know?
He wasn't sleeping. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll keep you all updated. Let's hope he responds.
Yes.
All right. Probably went to some Yahoo account that's gone for a long
Nobody
time.
Nobody pays attention to that Yahoo account.
No.
Like I was saying, right now somebody's iPhone just vibrated. And I'm like, wait, what? What is this?
Indigo Angel
69. Yeah, his wife is like, who the fuck is Indigo Angel 69?
He's somebody who cares about Seven Dust, unlike you.
Oh, he's probably like, it's just like from, I don't know, like this Song Meanings website. She's like, yeah, likely story.
Jenny, every comment, you destroy another marriage.
let's hope not, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's important that people know what we think about these songs.
This is true. All right. Next song is Wired. Tight drummer. Song about drugs.
Yep.
It goes. Ooh, there you go. Matt Nas, you into that one?
Like this one. Yeah. Like this one a
there
lot.
There we go.
These guys are dancing.
Yeah, we're dancing. We're dancing to the dust.
That one hits my sweet spot for sure.
Yeah.
What is it about that song that you like?
I like how it drives, like the rhythm itself. It's pretty straight ahead, pretty simple. And when it drops, I enjoy that. Like okay. it's a good chorus.
Yeah.
It's got good hook. That kind of hook to me resonates. I enjoy that.
There is, I could definitely see somebody accusing Seven Dust of being workmanlike, but at the same time, I feel like they follow a template, but they have enough style, at least on this album, to sort of make things their own. And I think having such a strong vocalist is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Can I just say something that I've noticed, though, throughout the songs? Workman is kind of like the perfect, thinking about 1997, this is a band that would play a place like The Foundry.
Yeah.
Or The Factory.
Yeah.
Or,
absolutely. Yeah.
Like, there's the way that they recorded his vocals, it's hard to describe, but it just sounds like he's in the biggest room possible with a mic that's not necessarily close to him. It is echoey. It's cavernous.
Right.
It's not a real tight vocal on him, which always reminds me of like live shows from that time period.
Well, I feel like, I don't know, it seems like with his vocal on this one, they're trying to make it seem bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think on all of them, they kind of use the same recording technique.
Yeah.
Because it all sounds like it's in a cave to me.
It all sounds like they're in that party that's in the movie Fear.
Yeah.
And then they have to like climb off the top of the roof. It looks real scary. But that's what I thought of through this whole album. I was like, I bet these dudes would be playing that party in the movie Fear.
Okay. I need to watch Fear. I haven't seen it.
So. What? You've never seen Fear?
No, I haven't seen it.
I love Fear.
I have to see it, obviously. Yeah. But no, I have not seen it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We got to get you to see this movie. I think you'll enjoy it.
I mean, it's Mark Wahlberg, and I tend to enjoy Mark Wahlberg. So, yeah.
All right.
I might have seen the end of it now that I think about it, but I don't remember anything.
You must have seen the scene of him punching himself in the chest over and over again.
Yes.
Oh, I have definitely not seen that.
What?
I've definitely not seen
that. All right,
I'm
going to send you some clips tomorrow.
You send me some clips? No, I'll just watch the whole movie. I'll watch the whole movie.
Sweet clips.
Sweet clips.
I put it at 358 for you, so you get right to the part where he's punching his chest.
Thanks, Robert.
No problem. All
right. Could I get a consensus on this album artwork,
well,
I guess we didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about the album.
I looked
artwork.
At the album before we started recording.
So this album cover is.
I thought it was a horse, but it's not.
It's apparently a guy smoking a joint, but made to look like sand, like a sand drawing or something. That's what I got out of it. Or like
it looks like a triptych or something. Just like like something like embossed and I don't know.
I think this is pretty bad packaging overall.
I realize that they're on TVT.
Yeah.
And TVT has historically terrible liner notes.
Right.
TVT and Wax Trax did a lot of like early industrial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond KMFDM. Nearly all of the packaging is really, really bad.
Well, so we were talking about this before we started recording. So on the back, you've got a picture of the band, which seems like a fairly standard situation. But you'll notice, Matt Nas,
it's not the whole band.
That it's not the whole band. That LeJean apparently didn't make it to hang out. Didn't make it to the photo shoot, which is basically guys sitting on a couch. So they just took a picture of LeJean and just pasted it.
They didn't even try.
They just put it above the band to the right. So that's everybody. I can't believe it. And the thing is that there is a picture of all of them performing in the liner notes.
Yeah, it's a decent picture.
It's a poster picture.
It's a poster picture. Why not use that? I can't believe that there were no photos. I mean, here's the thing. This photo of the band here, this looks maybe a little out of focus.
Yeah.
A little fuzzy. Good. not a great photo on its own.
This never would have happened in Snake Nation.
it's kind of stunning. Like, did they get this far? Here's maybe what happened. Maybe they weren't involved in this part of the production at all.
I don't think they were.
And then someone, like literally this thing's about to go out to the printing press. And someone goes, oh my God, the picture on the back is missing the lead singer. And they're like, does anyone have a headshot or something? And they're like, yes. Okay.
Well, we have him dressed as the Scarecrow from the production of The Wiz. He was
We have here. And that's the picture that they use. Yeah.
I realized something because during the first song, I asked Lauren to pass me the CD. And I didn't realize that the actual picture is right on the inside of the liner notes. So it's the color picture.
Oh, yeah.
But what they also did is they used Photoshop because I had this version of Photoshop.
Okay.
Which was like the first time that you could swirl.
Oh.
So like there was a swirl. And one of the effects on it was like a, I forgot what word you use, like a triptych. There's a filter that you could apply to it. So I'm sure they were just like photo negative triptych.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad. I still don't think it's the worst. It's kind of like a level of bad where it almost doesn't even register to me.
Like it's a level of bad. Just like
it's inoffensive.
Like basically this, the production of the actual liner notes on this seems more like a situation of, understaffed, underpaid. Like they had a couple of guys in the offices. They had to get the Seven Dust album out. It's recorded. It's done. Get those liner notes together. Oh crap! We don't have a picture of LeJean. All right, we'll put it in. All right, we'll paste it in. All right, the album's out and we're done. But yeah. But it's not like what is your thought of a worse cover art that we've done?
Crazy Town.
Oh okay.
It's Little Lolita. It's worse in a different way.
Right.
Like this is bad and it's kind of boring, but it's not like it doesn't offend me on any personal level. I'm just like this just isn't very good.
I just honestly every time I've looked at the back with this picture and the fact that they don't have the whole band, I just get kind of embarrassed for the band. I'm just like, how did this happen? This is your big moment. And
well,
they couldn't get everybody,
the self-titled album when it came out. It sold the first week. How many do you think it sold?
First week, let's say, I'm going to say it sold 5,000 copies.
I'm going to go super low. I'm going to say 500 copies.
Wow. 311 copies.
Whoa.
Yeah. It did eventually go gold.
Okay.
So it did all right. I think it was on the Billboard charts, I want to say, for like maybe 19 weeks, which isn't bad.
That's a good run.
But I do think that this is absolutely not the kind of album that you would see and be interested in picking up. You know?
Yeah. No, I'd agree.
Yeah, like,
it's gray.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very boring and not too interesting. But But Jesus, they made like 11 more, so.
Yeah.
They were not daunted.
Right. Okay, well, let's dive back in with the next track, Prayer.
Oh. I just didn't even register to me as a Christian song, and it's called Prayer. Oh, I gotta go.
Oh, Jenny.
I know. That funky bass.
Funky bass.
So you're at Brendan Boyd's house.
There's no doors.
There's no doors.
Whose hand is that?
It's our 17 foreplay.
God.
Yeah.
We are now at Prayer by Seven Dust on the sex playlist.
Yeah. You're covered in a lot of different lotions and oils.
The scent, indescribable.
I do love his voice.
I love his voice. Yeah, I can really hear in that vocal, like, yeah, it's he's in a big room.
Yeah, they gave him space.
Yeah. So yeah, I like this song. This song is according to songmeanings.com about his brother, and they used to pray together. And I guess not at this time, but I guess a couple years later, I guess his brother died tragically.
Oh.
So this song ended up taking on extra heavy meaning, I guess, when they would perform it. But I do enjoy this song a lot.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's fine.
Okay.
I think it sounds like a lot of the other songs we've heard
on this album.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like, I think at this point I'm kind of starting to, I know where you're going, and it's not that I don't like it. I'm just like, okay.
Well, this is the thing. Like Seven Dust have like a template, and they don't really veer from it often.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I like his voice, and I guess it's sort of like the album cover. Like, I find it to be just like inoffensive. It's like fine. But yeah, I don't know. That song didn't do a ton for me.
Okay.
I thought it was all right.
Okay. So at this point though, we're going along. Everything seems fine with Seven Dust.
Yeah.
You know?
Inoffensive.
Inoffensive. They have a song called Bitch that doesn't actually use the word bitch in it.
It didn't feel misogynistic to me.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Didn't.
And then, uh-oh. And then,
oh shit,
it didn't feel bad.
And then we're just gonna, let's just play the next song, Face.
What an inoffensive name.
Yeah. It's got this industrial open. Yeah. Makes you think, oh, is this the Terminator back again? You know? Right, Matt. She screamed rape.
Okay, so, keep it going.
Yeah, we'll keep
Let's
it going.
Let's just listen to
okay.
this.
Yeah. Ooh. So.
And now I feel gross.
We get a lot of, I love the pain.
Yeah. A lot of, yeah. So I, like I said, this was purchased not long after release. So I've been listening to this album since 1997.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right? I mean, I wasn't really listening to it post 2001 probably, but like for a good chunk of like high school into college, this thing would get played pretty normally. And it wasn't until I Christ Scout challenged it. I'm at the gym, I'm listening, I'm on the elliptical, Face comes on, and this wasn't even first listen. This was like second listen. And I was like, "Wait, what?" And it was like 8:30 in the morning, and I texted you. I was like, Jenny, oh no, Oh no, the Seven Dust album. Oh no. And so I looked up what I could, and it sounds like someone keeping a person in a rape dungeon. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Did I
thought you
it?
Were about to come at me with like some like.
Oh no, 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 no. There's no reading between the lines. This song is literally about that. And then, go ahead. What did you have?
I just had. I wish dudes didn't rape women. That's what
Valid.
I've got about that.
I got that you almost made a new word, rape gin.
The rape gin. Well, he's been listening to it since he was a teenager, so. I don't know. You know, the biggest bummer about this to me, other than the fact that, you know, rape is common.
Right.
Is that I actually like this song itself.
Yeah, for sure.
And the first time I listened to it, I wasn't paying super close attention, and I didn't when he like when she screamed so softly rape that first one, it didn't even register to me. And I was like, I don't know, but then I was like, oh wait, no, he's screaming rape me over and over again, and I love the pain.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing that this is from like the perspective of a character or
I hope. Oh my God.
Jesus, maybe not. That's like what you want to hope. I don't know. I was just like.
It's a real. And here's the thing. It comes right after prayer.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
He says that he wants her to pray for him someday.
Yeah.
In this song itself.
Well, yeah. So it feels like it's a character situation. Song,
well, and he also, I'm sorry. He gets into it like saying like disgusted with myself about what I've done. And then he says, and I was like, okay, well, maybe this is like about like redeeming yourself or like, you know, whatever. And then it's just, I can't imagine it'd be so much fun. Like, God, why?
So if I'm, I wrote, if I were to believe the comments of songmeanings.com, they lead it to believe that it is some sort of and this is them, this isn't me, this
I'm not gonna yell at anybody.
They feel it may be some sort of sub dom relationship, and I know I bring it up almost every episode.
This is the third time we brought up the sub dom relationship,
but the commenters on songmeanings.com, the site that you founded, Jenny.
I know.
basically said that it is some sort of, the character is some sort of, I don't know, somebody who's into like a rape fantasy or something.
Well, that could be. I thought about that too.
Right.
I thought maybe that could be the case. Another thing that people on songmeanings.com said that is about being a single dude on tour and being like disgusted with the women who only sleep with you because you're in a band. That doesn't sound quite right to me.
That doesn't seem like the story that's being woven.
But that almost made me more annoyed than the song itself.
Right.
Because I was just like, oh, shut the fuck up. Like,
big problem.
Who cares? Who, you know, it's like, I don't give a shit if you don't, like, as he does say this, like, I hate the reasons you came home with me. Like, well, fucking, I don't know, dude. Like, go cry into a bucket somewhere. That's right. I said it. Go cry into a bucket somewhere.
Heavy disses, Jenny.
It's just so fucking infuriating to me.
Well,
like,
I don't know. It's funny as like is the idea of being like you don't like me for my mind. You only like me because I'm in Seven Dust, aka Crawl Space, aka Snake Nation.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's mad about. I just think that like the idea. I don't know, just like the whole idea that like what's ever anybody's intention of going home with anyone? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't like what you came home with me. Well, then why don't you put your fucking dick in your pants and not go home with this person? And I would say that to him too. Like, if you're just like, why are you here with me? Like, tell him to get the fuck out. What are you doing?
Right.
What are you? I don't want this like purity game. Like, I don't have time. Like, I don't have time for this purity game.
What do you think? Like, you were going to come home and be like, check out my DVDs. I got a lot of killer DVDs.
Or like if they come home with you because they need a place to stay.
Your ultimate
fear. My ultimate fear. I don't know. This song, I like the song itself. The lyrics, just like,
It's a little rough.
The lyrics are a bummer.
It's rough.
They're a bummer.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Don't like
that.
No.
Well, face.
Face.
You just got faced.
You did.
You did. All right, next track, Speak. Good riff. This is very Tool right here.
I like this riff.
Yeah. That sounds like a snake charmer.
Snake Nation.
Snake Nation.
All those backing vocals.
Oh, many backing vocals.
It's like a pit of snakes.
All hissing up at you.
Yeah.
It took this long to get to the drop. Oh, here it comes. LeJean's yelling. Oh, okay. Not quite.
They take their time.
They do. Here we go. I like this.
Reminds me of Madball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You got a song called Say What.
Oh.
Same thing.
Is that also a song about a shit talker, which is what songmeanings.com says the song is about?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Actually.
Oh.
Madball, currently on tour with Korn and Limp Bizkit in Europe.
Yeah. Apparently these shows are killer, from what I can tell.
It's very sad that I'm not there.
It's a real bummer we're not there. And Fred Durst.
Merry Christmas, guys. We're going to Europe.
That's not even funny.
Don't even joke about it, Mad Nas. Don't even joke about me leaving my newborn somewhere to go see Korn and Limp Bizkit with Madball in Europe.
Yeah, I feel like it would be more painful for Lauren to have to make that choice than anything else.
It's a real indecent proposal.
Oh, man, Rachel be super mad.
Merry
that
Christmas.
That I did that.
Yeah, she'd be super mad. So Mad Nas bought his tickets for Korn and Limp Bizkit and Madball. Oh, that's great. In Europe, 2 days from now. Christmas Eve? Yep.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But
what a dream.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what do we speak? It's okay, I thought. I mean, I think that you have listened to this album a lot. And
yeah.
I think that it probably has like some like nostalgic...
Yeah, a little bit. I would say it's something that when I put it back on, it was a little bit like putting on like an old jacket, and I was like, oh yeah, this old feeling again, you know, because things came out. I was like, yep. And I mean, I knew, well, I don't say I knew all the words,
yeah,
but I knew a decent amount.
I knew all the words except for rape.
I don't know how I missed that one. You know, it's funny. I was trying to think like, what did I think he was saying back in the day? And maybe I either was in denial about what he was saying, or I thought he was saying like rage.
I thought he was saying rage the first time I heard it.
Or he was just yelling something, you know, indecipherable. And there's no lyrics in this lyric book, and I didn't have songmeanings.com.
Do you think it was about crepes?
Ooh. Crepe! Yeah. Crepes!
Crepe me!
Crepe me!
He just wanted a... sweet or savory breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, I think that because I don't have any history with this, mm-hmm. it just, I don't know, man. It just like doesn't hit me in quite the same way. But it's weird because I do really like it. I think it's good, but there's something about it that I just, I don't know. I rarely feel like I'm all in when I'm listening to this.
Hmm.
There's not a song that like, I have not been called to the pit.
Yeah, I definitely haven't been called to the pit.
Yeah, they're definitely not.
I've been teased towards the pit.
Yeah.
But not called.
Yeah, that's
true.
And
so far, we still have our own will if we want to go to the pit or not.
Exactly.
So that's good.
Right.
If Sepultura came on, I'm sorry, we gotta go.
We've gotta go.
Well, I mean, if Sepultura comes on, wherever you are becomes the pit.
That is,
you
know, true. What I mean?
Supermarket, you know.
Pit.
Pit. Baseball game.
Pit. Pit.
Funeral wake.
Pit. Pit.
Sorry. Well,
this song does have mention of a casket, but I don't know. I just
different pit,
different pit, pit.
Oh, different, yeah, different pit.
I just, I don't know. I just feel like sort of uninspired by this.
Hmm.
Sorry,
this,
sorry, everybody.
This did fall more into the vein of a Godsmack Disturbed sort of band.
Yeah.
But what it doesn't have, and it's so insane that I would get to a point in my life where I would say, what this band doesn't do that Disturbed does right. But here's where we are. I know, right?
We're sick still.
We're sick. It's such a deep sickness.
How have I been inoculated this whole time?
I don't know.
It's, yeah,
must be something with your DNA.
Yeah. Is I feel like the fact that David Draymond and that band are just like, you know what it is? It's, there is a theatricalness to David Draymond, going back to the strap him into the gurney,
oh boy,
like he's Hannibal, yeah, Lecter, wheel him out. And that's the type of thing where he just believes in like rock and roll to that level. And I mean, even if you could say like Sully with Godsmack, you know, he's got the Wiccan angle, which he may sincerely believe, but it's still an angle. It's not like he hides it. It's part of, you know, his promo. I mean, he works it into his music videos. So you have that. But with Seven Dust, there isn't there. They, I feel like Seven Dust is like, we are a band who plays rock music. We will come out and we will rock you. And when our time is up, we will leave the stage. Do you know what I mean? There isn't that. I don't want to say X factor, because I feel like LeJean's the X factor.
LeJean's definitely the X factor.
Definitely the X factor. He's got the vocal. He brings it. I feel like he's the reason.
But I go back to your Workman title. They're Workmen.
Yeah. They're not trying to do anything overly showy. There's nobody in the band who's dropping anything extra technical like a Wes or, you know, and so that might be, coming back to you, Jenny, what it is that's missing.
Yeah, I think you're right. But that's the thing about it. I mean, I agree with you. It does. It's like they're just doing the work. They're good. Mm-hmm. Doing a good job. I like the vocals.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's nothing about it that feels
right
special. And even thinking about, I don't know, even thinking about a band like Cold Chamber, where like they are so very obviously influenced by many things, but there's at least, there's just something more going on there, I felt.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And also there's a, you know what, it maybe it's just the sense of like, those bands, this band is maybe a little too serious for its own good. And these other bands, I mean, let's going back to Cold Chamber, Big Truck. Wrote a song about, literally starts with Big Truck. And you're like, whoa, what? Is this a song about a big truck? And over here, I mean, maybe Seven Dust is too sincere and too, like, overall, just like, I mean, their songs are literally about what they're about. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're probably onto something. I think it is a little bit too, I don't know, like, since, I don't know if it's too sincere, but I do think it's a little, it's too serious without being like vulnerable. I just, like, I don't get a sense of...
Yeah, I think you're onto something there.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
They don't take it far enough.
No. It's like, if you're going to be... If you're going to be super serious, mm-hmm, then I need you to, like, open up and tell me something. This, mm-hmm, like, it's the songs... Although they're about what they're about, but I don't really feel like I'm learning anything about... I don't know. I'm not learning anything about any of the situations. I'm not feeling any like genuine emotion. Hmm. I guess. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to say it, but there is like a level of like, maybe they need Ross to throw something at them. Hmm. Because yeah. I could see,
right,
if these lyrics were just a little bit more raw, like,
yeah,
the musicianship is there. His vocals are so there.
So there.
But I'm listening to this and I'm just like, eh, all right.
It falls a little flat. Like it doesn't punch through.
Right.
To that next level that some of the other bands.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, even going back to like with Dez on Cold the Cold Chamber. He's going through.
By the way,
a lot
you
of
said
shit.
Dez and I said Cold Chamber before you said it. So congratulations, guys.
We've really done it.
You've done it to you now.
Really done it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this extra, like, even though we know that like Prayer is about his brother, it's still vague enough that it could, you know, be about anything. You know,
right? Which the other thing is, though, like if you think about it, Deftones do that. Like their songs are vague enough to be about anything, mm-hmm. but there's something that feels so much more raw and real mm-hmm. right. about when we're listening to them.
Well, I mean, I think that also comes down to like Chino being just a much more, I don't know, just open personality, like a more knowable.
That and I would, and this is why I'm kind of been harping on the vocal treatment,
right.
of LeJean is. He sounds distant.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't, like Chino sounds like he's talking to you.
Chino's Lauren. Whispering in your ear.
Yeah, he's yes. Sensual Chino is
sensual
talking
Chino.
To you.
That's yeah. great.
Where LeJean is just in a big room yelling.
Yeah, that is very true. And the thing is, I haven't re-listened to the album after this one, but I know that they got, I'm pretty sure the guys who produced Follow the Leader did their second album.
Okay.
And that album, I know, is a better sounding album. They vary up their sound on it a little bit. Chino's on it. They get another couple other guest vocalists. It's a better album.
Okay.
So I think they might tighten that up a little bit vocally, but I think overall though, if you like I said, I was telling you guys before we started recording, I went and I listened to the first track on their last four albums, and it was basically like the same sort of template, this sort of obvious crushing riff, LeJean yelling at you. You can definitely hear like different. His voice has taken on a different, more of a more grain, strained sound as time has gone on, as you imagine it would. But I mean, he still sounds great. But I mean, they haven't really messed with the template too much, and it feels like their second album is the only one that they really did that. So anyway. Where are we at? What's the next song?
Will It Bleed?
Will It Bleed? I mean, I wonder if they'd embrace the industrial elements more. That might have been something. My notes, it rocks, sure, which I guess it says it all, right?
That's probably what I would like caption this album.
It rocks, sure. Yeah. I do think this has a good hook on it. Got to lead up to it. Here it comes. And those backing vocals.
I like backing vocals.
I love them. So that's Will It Bleed. Verdict's still out, I guess.
I mean, again, it's like with a lot of these lyrics, so like I'd rather kill myself than put you through the pain,
mm-hmm.
right? Like right. It sounds like that should be something that would like kind of get at you a little bit.
Right.
But it doesn't for me.
It's the type of thing though that comes back to like almost like if Jonathan Davis was saying that, you know, if Chino was saying that, it would seem heavier. And it feels more like just a lyric here.
Yeah.
That is being delivered, you know, with passion, but Yeah. There's not, I mean, there's not even a ton of lyrics to this song. If I'm,
no.
Yeah.
Lot of backing vocals. We've always got a flourish there. Yeah.
I
that
know.
One also gave me a pretty heavy Alice in Chains vibe.
It's in the
maybe
notes.
That's my
it's
problem.
It's in the notes, babe.
That is a problem that I've had with a couple songs is the Faith No More and Alice in Chains.
The problem. Ugh.
I mean,
I'm sorry, buddy.
I'm with the Faith No More. Alice in Chains is tough for me too, but you know, everybody's got their thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Lauren, she's like, I would never go to Europe with you.
See Madball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Now you're going to be talking shit about Alice in Chains the whole drive.
The whole drive to Europe. It took
Jenny and Matt
so long.
Ruined the drive to Europe.
We are going
to
ruin
it. I brought a jar of flies to try to curry their favor.
You guys, listen, I stay away on loop for 16 hours. You will see how I see things.
Okay.
All right. We're almost there. My Ruin, which is the song from Mortal Kombat,
yes,
right?
Yes, that was a song from Mortal Kombat.
It sounds like you could be in Mortal Kombat hallway, right?
Yeah.
Waiting.
Get her
just
for combat.
Bite.
Yes.
Fight. All right. Well, this one I definitely Deftones ish.
Yeah. This one takes its time. Taking its time. Here it comes. Backing vocals here too.
Yeah.
You would? Would you? Who is your player on Mortal Kombat, Matt? When you would play?
I'm a Scorpion guy.
Scorpion guy? I kind of knew that. Jenny?
Yeah. Sonya.
Sonya. Sub-Zero.
You know what? I feel like this all makes a lot of sense. I totally see you as Sub-Zero.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you as Scorpion.
I love it.
I like Reptile, too, but I played Sonya, mostly because I figured out, like, her fucking cheat codes.
That's why I played Sub-Zero. I figured out
that's
all the
moves. That's why I played Scorpion.
Here we go.
I could throw the thing, and I could get over here and give him the uppercut.
Oh, yeah. I could jump up and use my thighs to break someone's neck.
Oh, that's
still a personal dream of mine. but I am not quite there. I gotta tell you.
Yes.
Shit went down on the songmeanings.com page about this.
Oh, really? I had that no one knew any idea what the song was about.
No one knew what it was about, but that didn't stop people from fighting.
Having feelings.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, a commenter named Muzzy,
ooh,
which I love.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Said, badass song. Their first album rocked. It was all downhill after that. The song was first released on the Mortal Kombat soundtrack. They were under the name of Crawlspace, but were threatened to be sued because the name was taken. Couple comments down, Toolpack says, Muzzy, fuck off with your stupidity.
Whoa.
Home, for example, is better than the first CD, which is saying a lot. So don't say that they've gone downhill after the first CD because they fucking haven't. He's like, because they fucking haven't, you dumbass. That's what he said. After that, Crude Soul, I don't even know how to say this, said, Toolpack, people have different opinions on things. You don't flame people for having a different opinion to you because that's just stupid. Supposing everyone disagreed with you. Anyway, this is a great song, although I have no clue what it means. Yep. After a second look at the lyrics, it seems impossible to figure out its meaning.
Impossible.
All
seven
I'm getting
wonders
at,
of the world in yeah. my ruin by seven dust.
All I'm getting at is it's possibly someone's relationship, perhaps with an ex, and needing them. Hence, please forgive me, and I can love you, and I think I need you. I don't know what to make of the am I real. Save my ruin and stuff like that, though. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
It ends with oh, well.
Did the shruggy emoji?
No, I don't think that existed then. Oh. But, yeah. So I just love that little fight.
That's great.
You don't flame people for having different opinions than you. Hashtag not my canon.
A preview for an upcoming episode. I looked at some other bands that we're going to do on their songminis.com, and I found one page, 90 comments.
Whoa.
That's a lot of comments. Song.
And things got heated. People were accusing the lead singer of the band of being gay. People said he's not. Let me prove it to you by this interview. That doesn't mean anything. Oh, very heated.
Wow, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm really glad that my site's taken off. Yeah. It's taken a long time for me to get here.
Well, you're playing the long con on this.
Oh, man.
Look, next episode's going to be sponsored by songmeanings.com. Just wait for it.
All right, we are on the last song of the album, Born to Die.
Very dramatic title.
Woo!
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted that in my ear.
Right. It sounds like LeJohn is singing from like the middle of a wrestling ring, you know? He just sounds like, he sounds massive, but still distant. Yeah. Get a little closer, LeJohn.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
We don't bite.
So yeah, I mean, I like that they went out on a strong closer, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they went out. I mean, these guys don't really do ballads, at least not at this point.
Well, they started to in Bitch.
And then they spun it on you.
And then they went back to it.
Right.
And then they spun it back.
I couldn't tell if this was a drug song or a song about drugs to spirituality. And I admit I did not get a chance to go on songmeanings.com and fight with anyone about it, about what I thought it meant. But strong close.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. And I should say, can't believe I forgot to mention it before, but this album is respectful of our time, I feel, at 48:31.
Yeah, very respectful. I
right on the side of respectful.
I never felt any time that I thought maybe this could end, it was over.
Yeah, I thought, I while doing the Kreisgau challenge to this, I thought, when is this fucking thing going to be over? And then it was. And I was like, oh. And then I felt bad for being like, when the fuck does this album end? Mm-hmm. And it ended right when I was thinking that it should. And I was like, oh, that's my bad. A little too aggressive there. Yep, you guys got it under control. Well
done, fellas.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry for doubting you.
Yeah, my bad.
It's like, where's my drink? Oh, there. Oh, okay.
That's exactly what
it was.
You were
right. The waitress was right behind
you.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, whoop.
Sorry. We got to tip her better.
Yeah.
We got to give her a good tip.
Yeah.
Because I was mean.
That bumped it up to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So this album is very consistent, rocking wise.
Sure.
But it's very workmanlike. It's in the vein of a Godsmack or Disturbed, but it's more serious. Yeah, I wrote all this. I can't believe I forgot I wrote this. It's more serious than either, and it's not as theatrical. And I don't know. I don't think it's remarkable enough.
I don't think so either. I thought this album was all right.
Yeah.
Couple songs I liked.
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing that stuck out to me other than the whole rape thing.
Right. I mean, that kind of hits you right in the center of the album. Like, yeah, we're wild over here. But
and
yeah.
The thing about that was, I think actually, maybe in the case of that song specifically, the fact that, although I just didn't really like feel anything he was saying. So I just heard it and I was like, oh boy. But I wasn't like, holy shit, what the fuck did you just say?
Right.
You know, I was just like, what? We're talking about this now?
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's, I think it comes back to the distance on it too, is like when I'm trying to think of somebody who gets really vivid. I mean, well, I mean, you know, Jonathan Davis. I mean,
yeah.
He can drop some pretty vile stuff on you and you're sort of like, eh.
But even the Head PE record.
When we
think about how visceral that was in comparison to this.
That's a very good point. Yeah, because that's oh man, I'm trying to remember.
Talk about going there.
Right. What was the really nasty thing on that one?
It was about like fucking a young girl and like, I'll be in you when you wake up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah. That thing.
That classy piece of instrument.
Yeah, I have to say it. Seven Dust is missing that level of detail.
Well, I
more
think
specificity, guys.
I think it's exactly what we were talking about a few songs ago, is that they don't push it far enough in any direction. And I think, I mean, I keep coming back to this dude's vocal, because I do believe he's a good vocalist, but he has so many styles that they wanted to showcase that over saying, what's your best style? And let's push and charge with that and then season with the other ones. But no, it's like, nope, we're going to get his full kind of late 80s, early 90s rock singer voice.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get kind of the metal voice, and then we're going to get the more hardcore voice. Hmm. Whereas like that last song, I actually probably liked the most out of every song that I heard, because it was much more of like, for the aggression I think this band is trying to pull off, it was the most direct and straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I felt like if they would have done that, they probably would have pushed themselves further rather than be like, well, we can just rest on the fact that LeJean has a great voice.
Yeah.
But his great voice doesn't come, I don't think it does what they need it to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like we said, the album went gold, but these guys aren't like world beater, like headline Ozfest situation. They're like headline the second stage Ozfest.
Yeah, they've been on Ozfest.
But they're not. Yeah, I think that's the thing that separates them, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
So it's not going in.
It's not going to go in.
All right. I didn't. Yeah. I
don't hate
say,
it
though. I didn't hate it.
Don't hate it. It's just not what we're looking for.
Not what we're looking for.
Not what we're,
not
looking,
what
for.
We're looking for.
Hey, sorry. For. You're just. Not what we're looking for.
You know?
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
So sorry.
But you know what? We're going to check out Home. We'll listen to that second album.
Yeah.
You know, and see how that goes. Not right away.
No, we're going to need a minute.
We're going to need a minute. Yeah. So that does bring us to the end of the episode. I'd want to mention again, Roach Coach is a sponsor of Snow Day X. Deco presents Snow Day X at Go Comedy in Ferndale, Michigan. It is 8 p.m. on Saturday, January 14th until 10 p.m. on Sunday the 15th. There will be improv. There will be swag bags. There will be us.
We'll be there.
We'll be there performing improv. I feel like I've been in a slump lately, you guys.
Oh,
that's an improv slump?
Improv slump. I did a couple showdowns and I was like, wasn't too thrilled. That was lowest points.
When are we
going
to do a Roach Coach set?
I would do a Roach Coach set.
I would do a Roach Coach set. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Roach
Breaking
Coach
news.
Improv set.
You ever want to see three people improvise and bring up nu metal a lot and probably just start talking about it?
Yeah.
Well.
It's going to happen.
Do we have a show for you?
Woo. 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Snow Day X.
Yeah, there's going to be, I should go back to Snow Day again. There's going to be 50 acts from all over. Bob wanted me to mention that. All over. Chicago, Pennsylvania, and Michigan.
All right.
Tickets are $20 and you can order them online at gocomedy.com. That's not right.
It's .net.
It's .net. So gocomedy.net. Swag table with t-shirts, 50-50 tickets. There will be some Roach Coach shirts. So if you've been hankering for a Roach Coach shirt, they will be given away there. Definitely check out all the details at facebook.com/snowday24hourimprovmarathon. Go on Twitter, Snow Day Improv, Snapchat, Snow Day Marathon, Instagram, snow_day_improv. Okay. We'll talk about that again before it is, before it happens.
Before it is.
Oh, before it happens. I'm so glad I volunteered this. But yeah, that brings us to the end of the show. Definitely say hello to us on our Twitter at Roach Coach. Like us on Facebook. Give us a rating on the old iTunes. We got another 5-star review. Thank you so much. I'm not going to pull it out, but it was a very nice 5-star review.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Those are great. I'm hoping for 2017, get Roach Coach in that top 150.
Ooh, let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right.
You know, I don't know. I looked up. There's no set way to do it, but I think if we keep getting good reviews, subscribers keep subscribing. People are subscribing. I want to, you know, just let everybody know we have been consistently gaining subscribers every single month.
Yay.
We are gaining up and up and up. So people are telling their friends, and we appreciate that. Everybody passing it around and letting everybody know. So thanks so much. We'll be back soon. Jenny, thank you.
Lauren, thank you.
Matt,
thank you.
Thank you both.
All right. All right. We'll see you later.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.